If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy it is to greet you again on this Lord's Day. We're rejoicing in the tremendous spirit of revival that God is giving us at Worth Baptist Church. Our revival time got underway last Sunday with a record June attendance. You'll be glad to know that 627 people answered the roll call to our Sunday school to study God's Word last week. How grateful we are for the blessings of God during the day. It was one of the most outstanding days we've had in a long time. There were several people saved and some five added to our church to mark the beginning of our revival season. Remember, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. Our golden text for the summer season, in connection with our revival emphasis, is 2 Chronicles chapter 7 at verse 14. We're going to read that verse in a few moments as the text for our message today. But let me encourage you to get your Bible now and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. I would suggest that you copy that verse out of the text and paste it around in several obvious places in your home, by the mirror or at the breakfast nook, or somewhere that you'll see it every day. Read that verse over and over again and again. In fact, I'm going to suggest that you memorize that verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Hide it in your heart. Quote it, read it several times during the day. And as you do, whisper a prayer that America might receive from God an old-fashioned spiritual awakening. We believe that's the great need of the hour. In fact, we have written the President of the United States this last week, reminding him that Worth Baptist Church and thousands of churches across America, particularly that we know about in the constituency of the World Baptist Fellowship, that these churches and these thousands of people are praying that America will experience an old-fashioned revival in our bicentennial year. We believe that 1976 is the year of revival. Some of you will recall that on the very first Sunday of this year, we began talking about 1976 being America's year of revival. I can think of no better time than our bicentennial year for us to experience an old-fashioned spiritual awakening, a spiritual revolution. There are dangers today of there being in our bicentennial year a political revolution. There are insurgent forces in our nation today, and I'm not an alarmist, but there are forces that would like to see and may attempt an overthrow of our government this year. I'm saying that could well happen in 1976. So to ward off such a revolution and upheaval among the people of our land, we are praying that God will give us instead a spiritual revolution. And you know what I want you to do? This will not take but a moment of your time. Just sit down and on a postcard write to Worth Baptist Hour and tell us that you too are praying for revival. That'll take only a moment of your time. Simply on a postcard write, "We or I am praying for revival." Why don't you do that today? I know you say, "Well, I'll do it next week," but don't put it off. Get your postcard today and address it to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141. Fort Worth, Texas. I'd like to receive hundreds of postcards from all over the Metroplex this week. All I want you to do is say, "I am praying for revival." You don't even have to sign your name. You don't have to put a return address if you don't want to. Just a postcard saying, "I am praying for revival in America," and address it to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. We're asking God to begin that spiritual awakening right here in the city of Fort Worth. We have a great city. I'm proud to live in the city of Fort Worth. I'm proud to be an American. And I'm praying for God to revive America and begin the work in the city of Fort Worth. And we're asking many other pastors and their people to join with us in this concerted effort of prayer during these days. By the way, on June the 27th through July 4th, that week, Sunday, June 27th through Sunday, July 4th, has been designated as a nationwide World Baptist Fellowship Week of Prayer. And we'd like for many other churches, regardless of your denomination, and regardless of the group to which you belong, to join with us in that particular week to pray for revival. Remember, the dates are June 27th through July 4th. And don't forget, drop us a postcard this week. We're not asking you to send any money. We're not asking you even to send your name or address. Just a postcard saying, I am praying for revival, and address it to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. In the meantime, we would like to invite you to come and visit our services today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We are currently in a series of studies entitled Highlights in the Book of the Revelation. Our lesson today will be from Revelation chapter 12, The Wonders in Heaven. Come and study Revelation 12 today in our Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship hour is at 11. Our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs, and we would be happy to have you and your family visit with us at Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our address is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And we will look forward to greeting you in the services of Worth Baptist Church today. Again, these two special announcements, the Week of Prayer, Sunday, June the 27th through Sunday, July the 4th, and on Sunday, July the 4th, our God and Country Day. We are privileged to have with us Mr. John Nyland, a former player for the Dallas Cowboys and now with the Philadelphia Eagles, who will give his thrilling testimony of what Christ means to him. And then also we have Mrs. Barbara Law, one of the outstanding vocalists of our day. I tell you, I've never heard anybody that can sing any more wonderfully than she. She's a tremendous vocalist, and you'll enjoy Mrs. Barbara Law on Sunday, July 4th. So make your plans to be with us. We're expecting 1,000 people at least in our God and Country Day on Sunday, July the 4th. And don't forget, pray for revival and write us this week. Let us know that you're praying for revival. Write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, God's Recipe for Revival. I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 12 and through verse 14. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the spirit of revival that prevails here in the city of Fort Worth and right here in our own church. And I pray for every Bible-believing preacher, and for every Bible-believing Christian in this city and in the Metroplex today. I pray that thou would stir something in our hearts that we might pray together for revival. Bless every listener, our senior citizens, our aging ones, our infirm and sick and afflicted, and those who have burdens and problems and difficulties and trials and heartaches. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would bless them. May this Lord's Day be an outstanding day all across America, and may the spirit of revival be ours, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, do you have your Bible? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll read verses 12, 13, and 14. And remember verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Is the golden text. I'm asking hundreds of people to memorize it, to write it down, to read it, to quote it every day, and pray for revival. Now, this is what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now that's our golden text. I want to read that again. Why don't you just read it aloud with me right by your radio? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Are you ready? Listen, let's read it together. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God's recipe for revival. It is found right in the framework of this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. America's a sick land today, morally, spiritually, economically, politically, governmentally, religiously, in every facet of our lives. America is a sick land. Someone asked James Russell Lowell, the American poet, how long will the American Republic endure? And Mr. Lowell answered, and I quote, as long as the ideas of the founding fathers continue to be dominant. I am in agreement with that. I believe that our land, our society, can endure only as long as we continue the principles upon which our nation was founded. Now, I have this assessment of America today. I am not a prophet. I don't know any more than anybody else. But I want to say this. Unless America has a revival of spiritual things, I do not believe we can last to the end of this decade as a free society. I believe the need is a great spiritual awakening, and I believe God's going to give it to America because Americans all over are praying for revival during these days. Now we have God's formula, God's recipe for revival right here in His own Word. We do not have to go to the books of philosophy. We do not have to turn to science or education or politicians or anyone else. The answer is in the framework of God's Word. If my people. Now, God does not expect anything of the outside world. Let me address myself to Christians, born-again believers at this moment. God is expecting something from you. If my people. We are the people of God. We ought to live like God's people. We ought to look like God's people. We ought to dress like God's people. We ought to walk and talk and think like the people of God. We ought to pray like God's people. We ought to go to church like God's people. We ought to support the church like God's people should. If and when we begin to do that, if my people, God said, if my people which are called by my name, as a born-again believer, your name is Christian. You are a Christian. The Bible says in Acts 11:26 that the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. They looked so much like Christ. They acted so much like the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so Christ-like that men began to call them Christ ones or Christians. Because a Christian is a Christ one. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Are you a Christian? Now, I didn't ask, are you saved or are you a church member? I asked, are you a Christian? Do you act like Christ? Do men see Christ in you? Can someone look at your life and say, there goes a Christ one. There is a Christian. We are His people and we are called by His name. Now, remember, if we are Christians and if we're called by His name, we ought to live like Christ. It is reported that in the army of Alexander the Great, there was a soldier who bore his name, Alexander. This soldier was undisciplined. And one day Alexander the Great called him into his own private quarters and he said to him, young man, your name is Alexander. I understand that you have not been behaving in a manner that is worthy of this name. I want to say this to you, young man. You must change your way of living or you must change your name. Now, my friend, we ought to come to grips with this thing. If we are Christians, we ought to live like Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God promises us something. Now, in God's recipe for revival, there are four simple steps. Let me share them with you. You have a few moments. Listen to them carefully. Step number one is humility. If my people, which are called by my name, shall first humble themselves. Now notice, God didn't say, I want to humble you. Now God can, and God will, and God does. But God doesn't want it that way. He wants you to humble yourself. Humble themselves, God says. You must fall on your face before God. You must be willing to come down off the pedestal of pride and humble yourself before God, on your face, on your knees, before Him. What America needs today is to get on her knees. We could stand no straighter than we would be on our knees. America could move faster and get more done on our knees than any other posture or any other position. America needs a prayer meeting. America needs revival, and we're asking men all over the place to pray for revival. Pray that God will intervene. Pray that God will move. Pray that God would stir the hearts of people all over our great land. What a wonderful country we have, the land of the free, the home of the brave, but it won't always be that way. And America will not always be America the beautiful if we don't do something about it today. So step number one in God's recipe for revival is humility. Humble yourself before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, and give yourself in humility to Him. The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. God turns away from those who are proud and arrogant and egotistical. By the way, egotism is a hypodermic that God allows a man to administer to himself to deaden the pain of being a fool. God wants humility, number one. Now, number two, write this down. The second step is prayer. God wants us to pray. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Paul the apostle says, praying always, pray without ceasing. It is a good thing for us to talk to God. That's what prayer is. Oh, not any long sentences that are monotonous and meaningless, but just simple conversational talk. Just talk to God like you would your earthly father. Just pray to God. Ask God to bless. Ask God to forgive. Ask God to lead and guide and direct in your life. We need to learn to pray. The Bible tells us that Daniel prayed three times a day. Daniel was a man of prayer. Abraham was a man of prayer. Isaac was a man of prayer. Moses was a man of prayer. God's servants throughout the ages have been men of prayer. Men who knew what it meant to pray. Men who knew how to pray. That's what we need in 1976. We need prayer much more than we need popularity. We need prayer much more than we need a balanced budget or an economic system that would be to our advantage, because none of these things can be right until we begin to pray. 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 Someone said, pray your troubles away. Night will turn to day. If you pray and pray and pray and pray, you'll pray your troubles away. It is a good thing, I repeat, to kneel before God in sincere prayer, invoking the blessings of God upon His people. Pray for America. Pray for your president. You don't have but one. Now, you may not agree with him politically. I'm not asking you to agree with him. I'm asking you to pray for him. I repeat, you do not have at this time but one president. Pray for him. Pray for the government. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our city, for our mayor. Pray for our city fathers, our county commissioners. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your fellow Christians. Pray for those who are lost. Pray that God will intervene and God will move on the scene and God will send a revival. That's step number two. Now, put down step number three, and that is surrender. If my people which are called by my name shall first humble themselves, second, pray, and third, turn or seek my face. First, we've got to seek God's face. Turn our face toward God. What does it mean to seek God's face? It means to discover God's will in your life. Do you know what God's will is for your life? I would say this. If you are a born-again believer, it is God's will that you be in church. It is God's will that you pray for the church. It is God's will that you support the church. It is God's will that you belong to the church. Identify yourself. This is God's will. It is God's will for you to witness for Christ, to share your faith, to be an active part of the ministry of your church. Seeking God's face, I repeat, is determining and discovering and doing God's will. Are you willing for God's will to be done in your life? The fourth and final step, now write it down. Step number one, humility. Step number two, prayer. Step number three, surrender. And step number four, separation. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's one, and pray, that's two, and seek my face, that's three, and turn from their wicked ways, that's number four. Turning away from that which is evil and sinful and vile and turning toward God. Separation. Then God promises the following three things. Number one, God says, I will hear from heaven. How long has it been since you prayed and you felt like your prayers really got through? You see, you cannot pray until first you've humbled yourself. And your prayer won't mean much unless you're surrendered and separated. So God says, one, I will hear from heaven. Two, I will forgive your sin. Wouldn't you like to have that weight of sin removed, my friend? Wouldn't you like to have all of that heavy dread and fear and weight of sin and guilt that so heavily weighs upon you today? Wouldn't you like to be forgiven? All you must do is confess your sin. We read in the Bible, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the third thing, God says, I will heal your land. Forgive your sin and heal your land. So God has promised if we meet His condition, He will bless America. I have this footnote and I shall be through with the message. If we meet God's conditions, He will send us a revival and America will survive. I repeat what I said in the early part of the broadcast. I am of this persuasion that unless we have revival, in 1976, we may never have revival, and unless we do have revival, I do not believe America can go on existing as a free nation and a free society. Think about it, my friend. Come to church today and hear more about it at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. May I remind you once again, I would like for you to write us this week. Do it today. We're not asking you to send any money. We're not asking you to subscribe to anything. You don't even have to send your name or your address. All you need to do is just write and say, I am praying for revival. Now, one step further. If you would like to receive a cassette tape of today's message, you would have to include your name and address. So if you want a copy of today's message on Recipe for Revival, write us this week and you'll get it. Free and postage paid. Remember, write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Your free copy of today's message on cassette tape will be mailed you upon our receipt of your card. And as we leave the broadcast, as always, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.